they're like, yeah, she has synesthesia. It's just a form of schizophrenia. And I'm like, oh, thank you for standing up for me, but that's incorrect.
In the middle of the night, for example, when I wake up and I'm like half asleep, I see one big spider walking up the wall in my room.
My idea is that this is a cash grab. I'm like, what? The 200 yen I'm gonna get from this video? Like, what cash am I grabbing, sir? I wish there's cash to grab. Jesus.
Welcome back, everybody. It's a new synesthesia chat with Zoe episode. Didn't happen in a while, so I'm so happy to have you back on the podcast, Zoe. Hello.
Hello. Yay, I'm so happy to be back. It's been a while.
It really has been a while since we sat in the studio, but it's not been a while since we spoke because there is a lot going on, and this is kind of what we're gonna talk about today. We're gonna recap the last couple weeks and months, and you joined two of the group sessions I hosted for Synesthetes.
Yep.
And also, I'm not sure if your video already was viral the last time we spoke, but we're also gonna talk about what it's like to be a star online.
I'm a little viral star now.
No, but seriously, that's what we want to focus on today. I want to interview you a bit on what happens when a synesthesia video reaches an audience that you didn't intend to reach, the positives and negatives and how you handled it. Yeah, and then also the two coaching sessions. The first one was communicating synesthesia confidently, and then the second one was only 2 days ago, which was synesthesia in business.
Oh, that one was fantastic. Love that.
Good. For anybody wondering, I have a group coaching program currently, and you can just find the link through my website or on my Instagram or in the show notes. Before we dive in, I want to ask you, how have you been? How are you? What's new? How are you physically, mentally?
I think I'm good physically. I can't remember the last time we spoke if I already left my job, my teaching job. It's great. Leaving my previous teaching job, because then now I'm mostly at home and it's great for my sensitive self. I don't have to brave the stimulants unless I want to. So I've been doing well physically, mentally, emotionally. So that's all good. What about you, Micah?
Oh God, I wished I could say the same. I think I struggle physically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the best phase of my life. Yeah, just a lot of mysterious symptoms that I haven't really found the right doctor to understand. Like a lot of body pain after overstimulation and just funky stuff like that. And then of course, my sleep is still madness. Mm. I actually got an appointment for a ADHD assessment, which I've never thought that this would be my route to take, but let's just see what happens, if it helps with my sleep. I'm totally in. Yeah, and I think I have to take care of myself lately, even though I'm working from home too. And you're right, you're very much in control over how much stimuli exposure you will have in a day. Mm-hmm. I still think it's too much what I get. So, you know, it's kind of...
I'm with you on the sleeping thing. Actually, yeah, I've been struggling with sleep a lot. I just can't sleep. My brain is way too active. And if I sleep, it takes me a long time to sleep. And I think maybe it was last night, there were so many colors when I closed my eyes. There was just so much and so bright. And I was like, oh, it's like there was a light switched on in my brain. I was like, Jesus, why is it so bright? And I think a couple weeks ago, my brain started playing random sounds when I'm about to sleep. Like, I thought it was somehow coming in my room, but it's like, I thought it was in my room or something outside my apartment that I'm hearing, but I don't think so, because it's like almost like a short echoey ring sound. It's just like, wing,
okay,
like that. And I'm like, whoa. And then it wakes me up just as I'm about to fall asleep. I was like, great. Now I have to try all over again. And then I try to sleep again. And it rings again like that and in a different pitch. And I'm like, dang it, now I'm awake again. So I keep having to try to like go back to sleep.
Yeah, maybe you can look into sleep-related hallucinations. I'm not sure about the actual term, but there are certain small hallucinations that some people have when they fall asleep or when they're about to wake up. Maybe that's where you find your answers.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I've been having that for a long time. Not the sound one, but like whenever I'm in like mm-hmm. that twilight zone, I'm about to fall asleep, I see a lot of weird things. Yeah, I've seen numbers flying into my vision before and I was like, what the hell is that? And my mom was like, let's go buy lottery with the numbers. Yeah, it's a tough thing. But a good thing is I don't actually have to like go to the office the next day. So that helps.
Being self-employed is the most stressful yet most amazing thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
It helps me so much.
Absolutely. Energy levels, everything. Yeah.
You know, I went into COVID thinking I'm an extrovert, and then lockdown was the most magical thing that ever happened to me.
You thought you were an extrovert?
Oh, yeah. I was a different person before COVID. Honestly, I had no idea. I knew I was sensitive to like coffee and alcohol and a lot of things, but like lockdown completely changed me. You know, because I think I told you before, when I'm overstimulated, I always feel like I'm in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And this bubble was just a constant thing over the first 25 years of my life, like constant. It was always mm-hmm. just a couple seconds where I felt like, oh, life is actually real. And then during lockdown, when I was home for 10 days by myself because the flat was empty, I didn't feel like I was in a bubble. And I found my peace there. Like, I never felt that good. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I remember everyone's, like, complaining about not being able to go out. I was like, yeah, I don't have to go out. Amazing. Yeah, I've always been a homebody, so.
Okay, so physically, mentally, we're doing our best.
Kind of okay. Yeah.
Kind of okay. I think it's probably relatable for the neurodivergent people listening.
Yeah.
But on more positive notes, we have a couple exciting mm-hmm. things coming up. I'm hosting the life event because, and that's worth mentioning, I guess, the podcast is turning one this month.
Amazing.
So happy birthday to
us. Happy birthday. Yeah, I'm like
it's really exciting.
Participant, but I still feel like I'm part of this birthday thing.
Oh yeah, you are the podcast, you are my colleague.
Yay.
We are turning one. Zoe, I'm so excited. Yay. I'm so curious to see where this will go. I'm really enjoying this. Mm-hmm. All of it.
Yeah,
the community
too.
The messages we get. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, those are really sweet. Yeah,
keep them coming.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys.
Okay, but mm-hmm. because the podcast is turning one, we're gonna host this event in Innsbruck. By the time the episode is out, the event has already happened, so you will probably be able to see some photos and videos on Instagram about the event. And if you want to learn more about what it is about, go listen to episode 14, where I met Pete Carruthers, and at the event we're going to show his theater play. It's fantastic, so
yeah,
it's good.
Excited.
And then
super FOMOing. I want to be there so bad.
This is really, really sad, but you have a big Europe mm-hmm. trip planned, so
yes,
we're gonna meet in only a few months.
Yes, very, very soon Micah and I are gonna meet in person finally, so like I've been waiting for so long. So I'm gonna go to Oxford in the UK to attend the synesthesia convention and be in the room with more than two synesthetes. It'll be my first time being in the same room with so many different people with synesthesia and everything, so I think it's going to be amazing. I can't wait to like feel the energy of the room and see everybody's colors and their voice colors and everything, so it's gonna be really exciting.
It's going to be so good. Aurora will be there, who I interviewed as well. Corin, who made the mm-hmm. podcast music, will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Jody from Lush will come. Jamie Ward and Julia mm-hmm. Simner. James Warnerton. Mm-hmm. Helena, maybe.
It's like everybody. Yeah. like everyone that I've met online, like with this whole synesthesia community, I'm finally going to be able to meet them in person. That's so exciting.
Is a first for me as well. And it's so, so nice that we are part of the media team. I think we are the media team. Or we are part of the media team. I don't know, but we're definitely going to interview people on site. I think we are going to have a seminar room there where we interview people. Mm-hmm. But I think we're also going to walk around and just ask people about just how they experience the event and how they, what they've learned, I guess, from the different talks and art exhibition.
Lovely.
Will be good. And then we're going to spend a couple weeks together in Europe until we probably fight because we're overstimulated and we need space and solitude.
Probably, yeah. We're going to like it.
No, I mean, that's part of the neurodivergent experience, I guess, because we do need a lot of downtime to recover. But I'm so excited to have you in Europe. And yeah, if anybody listening is in either England, Scotland, Austria, Germany, or Italy,
mm-hmm. yeah,
let us know.
Italy too.
Yeah, we need,
it would be great to like
beds
meet
to sleep in.
That's true. Yeah, if you guys have an extra bed or two, that would be amazing.
That's actually a good segue for us to dive into the actual topic of the episode, because the first group session you joined was about communicating synesthesia confidently, and different people joined for different reasons, and I hosted it for different people, but I knew when you signed up what it will be about for you, since your video mm-hmm. went viral on YouTube, or a couple of them, you gained a ton of followers and you were mm-hmm. kind of pushed into a educator role, I guess,
mm-hmm.
online yeah. with a lot of strangers. And I think your account is at like 65,000 followers or so. So maybe you can just talk us through what happened since you gained so many followers overnight. How do they interact? What comments do they make? And why did you feel like you need a session on how to communicate synesthesia confidently?
Well, it happening was completely a surprise out of the blue because synesthesia is so niche. So I did not expect the video to go that far or reach that much people. So for it to kind of blow up a little bit like that was quite overwhelming, I guess. And then when I'm overwhelmed, it's like it's harder for me to think straight. And then it's more difficult for me to find the right words to tell people. Because so far, me sharing like my synesthesia or whatnot is like with people like person to person when I meet them, and then it's like one-on-one kind of thing, or like online with you or people who already have synesthesia. But for me to have to communicate with like complete strangers that I don't even know how they look like, that was very hard. Also, like mostly is because I don't know how to pick my words very carefully, because I want to communicate precisely, like very, very precisely and accurately. I don't want to accidentally share some wrong information to people who are interested or are curious about it, because there's enough misconceptions and enough misunderstandings going around with synesthesia, which even I didn't really know until I saw all the comments and I realized, like, do people really think that's what synesthesia is? I was like, whoa. So for me, it was also like a little bit shocking to see all that misconceptions. Like, I knew some, but I didn't know a lot of the others. Like, when people think it's a form of schizophrenia, I was like, schizophrenia? And, like, to me, those two, synesthesia and schizophrenia, is never in the same sentence. So I was like, what? What do you mean schizophrenia? And I have no, like, psychology background or anything, so I don't really know, like, what schizophrenia is. So I was like, oh, that's, I don't know how to respond to people like that. When they ask this type of question, it's a legit question. Some of them really do ask legitly and not being rude on the internet. So I didn't really know how to answer that. And that's why I was like, okay, I need to go to the workshop to kind of figure out, get more details and, you know, find some vocabulary to be able to express it a bit more clearly.
the schizophrenia thing really is interesting because I can see why this misconception exists, since both reactions, either psychotic or synesthetic, they are like an extraordinary and extra thing added on top of the shared, what we think is our shared reality. So there is a component there. But then I said it in the seminar or in the session as well, I can't be insulted by that, because one, well, having schizophrenia can be, it's a real hard condition for the people that have it. It's mm-hmm. nothing scary yeah. in the sense of scary to the population. Like, research has shown that especially people who are schizophrenic are more often the victim of crime rather than being criminal. And that's a bit what mm-hmm. Hollywood sold to us. Like, schizophrenia is inherently bad. It's scary. It's a threat. And it's just none of that. It's a condition that is very serious. And if you want to say mm-hmm. I have schizophrenia, then all I can say is it's not correct neurologically speaking. It's two different conditions. I see why you got them confused, but it's not offensive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's not offensive, but it's just that I don't know how to respond to it because I don't know. I'm like,
I know that you're not offended by it, but they're coming from an offensive place, aren't they?
Like, yeah, some of them.
Some are maybe interested, but a lot of the, like, also the hate comment I got on my video was, if you have schizophrenia, just go get some help and meds. But, like, that sounded way too nice. It was a really nasty comment.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So, yeah, even though we don't get offended by that, they're coming from a place of trying to offend you. And I think that's the scary thing for a lot of synesthetes, because you don't want to be associated with a stigmatized group if it's not what you experience. But then also, I don't mm-hmm. know, I think it's just part of synesthesia education to also say, hey, but also voice hearing and other hallucinations are just fine too, even though it's mm-hmm. two different things. Like, I don't know, nobody's safe until everybody's safe kind of thing. We just have to advocate for each other.
And also, it's just like, I think if those comments landing on you, I mean, I hope they don't, but if they land on you, you have the proper knowledge to respond to things like that. Like, I don't know anything like that. So when those comments come in, I'm like, what do I say? Like, how do I respond to this? Yeah, because I don't have the facts, and I don't know what's the difference between schizophrenia and all I know, it's not schizophrenia, because I know what synesthesia is and what synesthesia is not. So I know it's not schizophrenia, but I don't know how to rebut, or at least even if I don't rebut, at least to like educate the other person why it's not schizophrenia. And so that was a little bit difficult. It's like, I'm just here drawing things, man. Like, that's all I'm doing. I'm just drawing stuff on my iPad. Why are y'all asking me all these things?
Yeah. And I think this point is also interesting, where we went to the second episode, not the second episode, the second session, where it was about synesthesia and business. And since your YouTube grows so much and your art and you set up a shop, synesthesia is your business. And we spoke about that with the other people who are trying to have a synesthesia business or a side hustle. The connection between the two sessions for me was that in the second session, we found that the audience kind of pushes you into something you maybe haven't planned to do. Like when you just said, man, I'm just drawing stickers or just drawing art, leave me alone with like all those medical insults. It did push you into creating slightly different content than you intended to do in the first place, right? And that's something we reflected on. I think it's so important to, especially when you do something online, of course the audience, you want to produce what the audience likes, but it can also so easily mm-hmm. push you in a direction that isn't really what you've planned. So maybe, yeah, just tell us a bit about how you felt about all the comments and the algorithm, I guess.
I think, okay, my thoughts are going in 10 different directions right now.
Yeah, it was a big question. Just say whatever you want to share.
Hold on, let me see, which one should I be talking about? Okay, I think the first, like when there was this flood of messages, most of them were nice. They think it's really cool, or You're like, oh, like, what is this? I've never heard about it before. So that kind of pushed me to wanting to explain to people a little bit more, because then if they understand what synesthesia is, then they can understand what I'm doing better. So I thought, okay, maybe I should kind of talk a little bit about that. And then there are also synesthetes who found out they have synesthesia through my videos. And you're like, wait, what? This is not normal. So basically, like how all other synesthetes find out they have synesthesia. And or like people will be commenting about their own experiences and asking me. So I became like a synesthesia Wikipedia. And I'm like, I'm not synesthesia Wikipedia. But at the same time, I also think like, because the platform is growing and everything, I think things like that just kind of naturally happens. Like, I can't have a platform talking about a rare neurological trait and not and expecting myself to not be educating people about it. Like, if it's just me playing guitar, I would not need to do that because everybody know what a guitar is. Yeah. And they already have the information. But because I'm talking using something that's very underreported and information is very scarce and difficult to find, it's bound to happen. And so I kind of wrestled with it a little bit. I'm like, I don't want to be the synesthesia Wikipedia. Like, that's not, you're coming to the wrong person. You should be going to Mike. I should be going to you. Like, why are they all coming to me? It's just, you just have to do it. It's just a natural thing to do. Because if I don't, that's also kind of selfish of me, I think. I imagine if I don't entertain any of these questions or any of these misconceptions, then I'm doing a disservice not only to myself, but the entire community that I am so thankful for at the same time. So I was like, no, I have to do that for as much as I can. But there are some areas that I'm not going to touch, like the super scientific areas. I'm like, that's not my area. I'm not going to share those. I'm just going to share how it's like for me specifically, my own experiences. And then I back it up with a little bit of the scientific facts that I already know. And then I fact check with you or get some information for you only to explain my own experiences clearer. I was kind of pushed into a corner, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? There's no point either running away from me or like trying to like resist it. I'm just going to embrace it, but I need to embrace it in my way. It has to be done in a way that I am okay with and in a way that I like. I was in this whole thing for like a few weeks though, like wrestling mentally. I was very overwhelmed and I was just like, what's happening? But they are just holding hands, right? There's you can't pull them apart. It's like twins. You can't separate twins.
Yeah. When you're really doing the Lord's work with your educational videos, the long form videos especially, they're amazing. I think they will help so many people because they're just up there and everybody that would type in synesthesia will find a video that is actually, you know, you share your experience and a lot of valuable information about it, but you also tag a lot of resources. So I think it will make the synesthesia online jungle a lot more easier, just more accessible for someone who approaches the topic for the first time. And I think that's what we spoke about month ago already, that synesthesia is so complicated to research, like scientifically, but as a person who wants to get to learn about it, there's so many, a lot of like small resources, but you never feel like, okay, I found it. That's the place to get informed. And of course, I mean, I don't think we can be that. I think we can also only be a puzzle piece in that whole thing and collect resources. But it's very hard to understand the facets of synesthesia when you just want to Google it for like an hour.
Like, you can't just read off a sentence and be like, oh, okay. Like, it's not going to work that way because it's so nuanced. But I think so far it's working. There are less and less ignorant comments, I guess. It could also be like the video isn't as crazy. Like, at its peak, it was really scary. Like, every night when I wake up in the morning, it's an extra like few thousand subscribers. And I was like, oh my God, the way the numbers are jumping is really, really scary and a lot more, a lot calmer now. So
I just remembered our very favorite comment under one of your videos where it was like, I'm a neuropsychologist. So can you quote that comment? It was infuriating.
Hold on. I think I sent it to you. Let me check. Yeah, I remember like you were very upset about it. Like, I was like, well, I'm not a neuropsychologist. I can't correct you, but I have friends who can. Oh, there we go. There we go. I found it. Okay. Amazing work. But just a reminder to everyone here, synesthesia isn't linked to being neurodivergent. Everyone has experienced synesthesia to some degree. In brackets, if you remember what a food tastes like or smells like, that's synesthesia, close bracket. Absolutely no hate to the creator, just things to keep in mind. Dash, take it from me, a developmental psychologist. Smiley face.
All right. Yeah, well, that's wrong. She's wrong. It's
every single sentence is wrong.
She's just talking about memories. It's not synesthesia. Synesthesia is a very distinct condition. I love how she put it in such polite language. Like, it was a really nice comment. And if she would have had something to say, it would have been actually good. But yeah, people just use their title to say whatever they think is correct. And that's the wild thing about the internet.
Yeah, I think I had another one as well that said, like, that they are he/she is a neurologist and he has worked with synesthetes before, and this is not how it's supposed to look like my synesthesia visuals are wrong. And I'm like, well, if you're a neuropsychologist and if you're a neurologist and you think that, then that's worse. So I mean, that person says he is a neuropsychologist, a neurologist, we don't know, there are no proof.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's not their profession. That's true. Yeah, well, maybe we can give a tiny bit of info about why synesthesia is not schizophrenia. I thought we moved on from that very quickly.
Yeah,
schizophrenia is a diagnosis, a condition that is often long-term or often also lifetime condition, whereas psychosis can be one episode only, and then hallucinations are symptoms that can be part of psychosis or schizophrenia. But if you have hallucinations, for example, acoustic hallucinations, so you might hear voices or sounds or music or something else, that doesn't mean that you are in an acute state of psychosis. It also doesn't mean that you have the condition schizophrenia. So schizophrenia is a condition where you experience multiple different symptoms and hallucinations, visual or auditory or tactile. Like, some people feel like they have bugs under their skin. So just a bunch of different hallucinations are possible. People experience delusion, paranoid thoughts, they're disoriented, and it really impacts your ability to manage life. And often people do feel very threatened and scared, and it's, yeah, it really has to be looked at, and people have to be supported in the right way. Psychosis sometimes is just a one-off thing. It can also reoccur, and it can also develop into something else, or maybe it's caused by, you know, drugs or extreme states of stress. You can experience just one episode where you might be delusional for a couple days or weeks, and then it will never happen again, which definitely, yeah, it's definitely possible. And then hallucinations are, they can be caused by so many different things, drugs as well, or like I said before, or when falling asleep or waking up. In the middle of the night, for example, when I wake up and I'm like half asleep, I see spiders, one big spider walking up the wall on my in my room. Ugh. Yeah, and it's one of those sleep hallucinations that it was really scary when I was a kid, because I felt like, well, nobody can tell me the next day if this huge spider was real or not. But then I realized when I blink, the spider will jump back to the position where it started to walk. So I can just, you know, if I blink, 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 it will always jump back to
reset
the start. And that made it, yeah, exactly, reset it. So, but those are hallucinations as well. You can also experience hallucinations when you're manic, for example, or, yeah, like I said, under extreme stress.
Mm.
Different states. And so those are the more like acute, they stay for a while or it's just a one-off thing. But then other people, like James Warnerton shared on the episode we recorded a couple months ago, where he shared that he's actually a voice hearer and he hears voices every single day, a couple different ones, and they're like discussing whatever he's doing and whatever he thinks about, they will discuss it, and they are just there, they are his company and part of him. But They don't mm-hmm. have to go away. They don't have to be treated. He doesn't need to take meds for that, because they are just an add-on on the perception that we all share. And they definitely also have, they bring positives to his life as well. So that's just a quick excursion. And maybe we have to just have an episode about that specifically, because it seems to be of interest out there.
Yeah.
All I can say kind of is that it's just two different neurological phenomena. They're just not the same neurologically. And the difference we can see, the reaction of a synesthetic brain to one stimulus, it will always be the same. A hallucination, they're more spontaneous, and it's just a different neurological makeup that would cause hallucinations. But maybe we can get an expert on specifically the difference.
I read it on the Synesthesia Tree website. Like, they were responding to one comment who was writing about their own experience. And I think they mentioned, like, for synesthetes, we know where it's coming from. And we know, like, we don't get confused in the experience. Meaning, like, I don't know what's the exact word that he or she used. But, like, if someone who is... for example, like a schizophrenia, like a psychotic episode or something, they don't know that it's happening or something like that. But for a synesthete, they will know, like, we know, we are aware of where it's coming from, kind of. I don't know if that's the correct word. I need to find it on the...
Yeah, I feel like the one part is more describing delusion rather than hallucination.
Oh, maybe delusion.
It gets a bit blurry there, because delusion, when you are in a delusional state, you don't know that you are. Yeah. So if you say more like something happens, like a car stopped next to them and then it started driving again, and they will only allow one explanation for that, and it will mostly have something to do with them. And if someone says, I feel like I confused you.
A little bit. I'm still trying to think. Okay. Like, I think I got confused with that comment too. I need to again read it up again. And it's somewhere on the website.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we can have a look at that. Yeah. But I'm okay. Maybe just let's roll back and just say
cut this entire part out.
We definitely know that synesthesia is not delusion, because that there are very clear differences. Like, they're not, it's just not the same thing, because delusion is how you judge reality, what you observe, your brain makes you judge it in a certain way, whereas hallucination and synesthesia, what they have in common is that they produce something on top of what we like call our shared reality.
Right. Like, for me, if, like, my, that sleep hallucination thing, like, I don't know that it's not real, but with my synesthesia experiences, I know it's like, how do I say? Like, I'm sober when I'm hallucinating something. It's just like, I feel like I'm not sober, but with synesthesia, it's like, I'm sober, I know what's going on, you know, even though I can't explain it, but I know that I'm fine. And it's just, like you said, it's like something on top of it. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it, I mean, that's also because it happens less often, and because you're in a half sleep state, like, we can never judge
that
something
too,
very well. Like, even if you have a dream where you are presenting at a conference naked, you are not sure if it's real or not.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's more about the sleep.
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah, no, that's right. But yeah, I think that's a good thing to be covered. That's a really big misconception. A lot of people can't.
Yeah.
They don't know the difference. Even people who believe in synesthesia, or like they're like, yeah, she has synesthesia, it's just a form of schizophrenia. And I'm like, oh, thank you for standing up for me, but that's incorrect. I'm like, how do I go about this? I've always been believed. And then on the internet, I'm like, why would someone want to lie about this? Do you know, it's a lot of effort to do this. Am I going to, like, spend all this effort on lying about some, like, random neurological thing? You crazy. I don't have that time.
Yeah, it's like the weird implication that we will get a lot of fame out of it, whereas like we work so hard every fucking day to get some exactly. sort of recognition. It's not, if I want to be famous, I would definitely make up something else.
Yeah, I would not do this. I think there's one that was so funny. They were like, my idea is that this is a cash grab. I'm like, what? The 200 yen I'm going to get from this video? Like, what? What cash am I grabbing, sir? I wish there is cash to grab. Jesus.
Oh, you know what I got a bit of pushback on, and I'm interested to hear what you say about it. It hasn't been big, but a little bit. It's that people, so I spoke a lot about mental health and synesthesia in the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Here and there, I hear people ask me why I would. We did so much work to disassociate synesthesia from anything pathological.
Pathological. Mm-hmm, like the pathology.
Yeah.
Pathological.
Okay,
is
so what they're. Yeah. Shit. So people say. Was there any reaction, by the way, the video you made about the pros and cons where I gave my mental health statement in that video? Did anybody say that?
Oh, yeah. No, nobody said that. But there is one person who was like, oh, I didn't know mirror touch is also synesthesia.
Yeah.
There's one commenter that actually fainted once from seeing someone get hurt when she was watching a movie. I think like she said like the rock fell on the person's hand in the movie, and then he felt it she felt it and she passed out in the theaters. I was like, oh my god, that is scary. Wow. Yeah, apparently his whole family or her whole family is like that, and I was like, oh my god. Yeah. Ooh. So it's pretty wild. Yeah, so.
Well, that's rough.
Because I wouldn't... Yeah, it's super rough. And I wouldn't bring up mirror touch at all. So thank God you brought that up, because I don't have mirror touch. So based on like my channel, it will not be a form of synesthesia that I'll be touching on. But the fact that you did, yeah, it was good. So like other people, they were like, that's synesthesia. Oh, damn.
Interesting. Okay, good. I'm not sure if I have a very weird relationship to mirror touch synesthesia, because some stuff I feel very, very clearly like other people's snot in my face. Like, mm-hmm. No doubt when someone's coughing or is like pulling up their snot, mm-hmm. I feel it exactly mm-hmm. like that in my own nose. It's disgusting. But then I don't really feel touch and pain. But then when someone's psychotic, I can't feel my upper body anymore. So I feel like it's not the whole spectrum. Okay. Of mirror touch that I'm experiencing, but I can very much relate to the experience. Yeah, but what I was trying to say is just, of course, like I see the community's work of making synesthesia stand alone and just be like, synesthesia is not a pathology. Of course, like I stand by that 100%, mm-hmm. but we just mm-hmm. cannot deny the lived experience of so many synesthetes that
mm-hmm.
and the impact it has, and not only the impact but how bad it is mm-hmm. to go seek therapy, go to mm-hmm. a doctor, and nobody ever recognizes that tasting words and having mirror touch and having a completely packed mind's eye 24/7 impacts mm-hmm. your well-being. And yeah. I'm gonna keep doing that. Like I it's so important to me to point out that, especially since a mm-hmm. lot of synesthetes are autistic, it just needs to be spoken about that it does impact some of us negatively.
It does, definitely. I mean, for me, when I first found out that synesthesia, I didn't think it was anything at all, because I was like, okay, so I just see colors and shape, all right, move on with my life. Like, yeah. What am I gonna do with that?
Yeah.
And then now that I know that so many things are linked to it, at least for me. I mean, there are some of my friends who have chromesthesia as well, but they're totally fine. But for me, it's like, oh my god, now I know why I'm always sick and I'm always like out, and why I would have like aversions to going out. Why is it so hard for me to leave the house unless there's absolutely something that I have to do? otherwise I just refuse to leave the house. I don't want to go out and stuff like that. And I always thought like it's just me. Like there's a lot of like tiny indirect that stuff that flies under the radar that could just easily be passed off as, oh, it's just like a personality thing or just a character thing. It was just a physiological thing. And those would indirectly like impact your mental health or your mental well-being because like you just don't know where it's coming from. So you just like make up reasons. And that's terrible. That's really, really bad. In that case, you can't find the correct accommodations for yourself. So it just gets worse. It just never gets better. And that's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. You don't ever gain the control over a situation like that person in the movies as well, I guess, when you just don't know what it causes, like your gut issues or me feeling like dissociation bubble. Like as long as you don't know what it is and what it triggers, you will think you have some sort of mysterious thing going on and you will find a pathology for what you experience because it has a negative impact. So I feel like on the bigger scale, of course, it's good that we let synesthesia just stand by itself and dissociate it from like in an individual's life. And certainly in mine and in yours, this not association between our synesthesia and our neurodivergence to the physiological symptoms wasn't really helpful because it took us until our 30s or wherever we are right now
in my 30s.
To figure out.
In our teens, we're teens. We're still young.
Yeah, adult life took us to figure out that there is a very clear connection between the two. And it doesn't have to be the case for everybody, but I think we have to have the possibility of pathology.
Yeah, every time when I tell people, I always say like, oh, synesthesia is not a pathology, and then in parentheses I will be like, at the moment. At least right now it is not considered a pathology, but I don't know if it will change because based on like what we were talking about, the downsides and everything, we don't know, things might change. So I always put like at the moment.
Okay. At the moment and for me personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay, so yeah, I think that is all we have time for today.
Yeah, the synesthesia and business thing, I guess we'll recap it in the next episode, I guess.
Is there anything you wanna say in particular?
I think the point that you make about how difficult it is to share like synesthesia work is because like it almost means that you're allowing the entire internet in your bedroom. Yeah, that one's a really good like analogy, I think. Yeah, that makes it really hard to make synesthesia as a business. Yeah.
That's true, yeah. I think that is a good point. It was the problem for other participants in the session as well, that you wanna market your product, whatever it is, and it's unique value, like really unique value. It's very special and it's a cool thing and the world needs more of this, but it also means that once you put it out there, you have to share a lot of personal and vulnerable information about yourself. And yeah I use the phrase you invite them into your bedroom, which is certainly true for orgasm synesthesia. but also any other, like it feels so personal. And that's why people are hesitant to share about it, because you can't really market it without the hate actually affecting you, because there is no distinction between my professional and my personal self when I market something that is so me.
Yeah, like only recently that I realized like basically my entire life is led by my synesthesia. I just had no clue. It's driving a lot of things that I do and I don't do, and it just leads a lot, and I had no idea. And maybe that's why I wasn't comfortable sharing anything, because I didn't know what it was. But now that I am, it's a bit more clearer. It's easier for me to share. Mm-hmm. But I am one of the lucky ones who didn't grow up getting any of these like terrible, mean comments from friends or family members. So I think that's why it's a little bit easier for me to do it, because I don't have that trauma. But for a lot of other synesthetes, like that's the very first obstacle. It's just even telling anybody that they have synesthesia. Like, how are you going to share your art if you can't even tell anyone these things that is so intimate and is such a big part of who you are? Like, that's terrible, you know, like having to have that, I know, that feel, to sit in that feeling and having to trying to like push through it is just so hard.
It's also buried way deeper when you constantly hear that you are not allowed to talk about it or it's creepy or weird. I think for us it was a bit easier to unbury the things that we pushed away. Because I wasn't told if you speak about this you will be sent to a psychiatric clinic. I didn't experience that. If someone would have said that to me, of course, like, would have really impacted the way I push it aside. And it did, it did for people.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, not only just like, art itself, it's already very vulnerable. Like, if you want to create art, you have to be, like, vulnerable. But then on, if you add, like, synesthesia on top of it, it's more like, ugh, oh my God. It just makes it way, way.
Yeah. Totally. No, I'm glad you bring that up. It every form of art, even like writing, of course, like poetry, stand-up comedy, like it's an art where you tell a story about yourself. They're all very personal and vulnerable, and it's a conflict for all of those areas, definitely not just synesthesia art, but of course that's what we focused on in the session. No, I just don't want to sound like we have it extra hard, or it's just not.
Yeah, same.
I see all the artists being so brave and putting their stuff out there, because even if it's not related to neurological hyperactivity,
it's still a hard thing to do.
It's still very, very personal. Maybe even more, actually, if I think about my art, because I often just say, I'm not even sure if I like it or not, but that's what my brain did. So here you go. Enjoy.
Right.
That's what pain looks like. It's just what it is. But someone else might create an art piece and just put it out there saying, this is my finished art piece. I love it so much that I want to share it. Like, that's also very personal if you don't have your brain to blame it on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Like, sometimes I don't feel like I'm doing art. I'm just translating my brain language.
For sure.
Yeah, like for those other artists and stuff, they're really like translating their emotion or their feeling or something. Like, it's very, I think it's very, very intimate, way more intimate. Like you said, they don't have like their brain to blame it on. They don't have that extra, like, it's not me, it's my brain, you know. But for us, we can pull that card out if we need to.
And I do. I so do.
Me too. It's just my brain. I didn't choose, technically. I really didn't choose this. I didn't choose to see these colors. But anyway, all artists are amazing. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your art.
Good. Hey, great. Thank you so, so much for this synesthesia chat episode once again. Can't wait to bring you back in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I will most likely bring Richard Saitovich from the last episode back to talk about aura synesthesia. Because I know
I want to hear that.
He has a lot to say about it, and he actually calls it not aura synesthesia, but emotionally mediated synesthesia, which explains a lot. So I'm gonna record that. Maybe you can join, would be nice.
Okay, yeah, I would love it, because I have like aura synesthesia too. So I'm very curious about what it's like for him, I guess. I mean, like, how he explains it and stuff. Yeah, and I think aura synesthesia, it's one of those forms that has a very blur line between like scientific and like spirituality as well. So it'll be interesting to hear how he kind of separate those two to get away from each other.
That's a good point. Yeah, like the colors of chakras or what it is. I'm really not into that kind of.
Oh, I'm really into those stuff, so I love it.
good. Okay, I'm gonna schedule it, and then we're gonna record with him and see what emotionally mediated synesthesia is. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us and being part of the Let's Talk Synesthesia community. Probably some of you have been around for a year already, and we're sending so much love to you. Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you, Micah.
Cody, bye. Bye-bye.